Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Today, I am joined by the incredible Dr. Talia Steed. Talia's areas of expertise span mind-body symptoms and chronic unresolved health issues. Working with empaths and highly sensitive people, women's health across the lifespan, mental health, and major life transitions, career and relationship counseling, and guiding people through spiritual awakening. In her new book, Choosing the Witness Self, Talia writes about a different way of relating to our inner world, discovering that you are the witness to the experiences of your life, nothing more and nothing less. In this conversation, we explore the differences between the will to live and the will to heal, why our body is not punishing us but illuminating what needs our attention, how chronic symptoms can mirror misalignment in relationships, work, and lifestyle, what it really means to choose the witness self rather than be driven by the ego mind, why true healing often asks us to do hard things gently at our own pace, practical ways to create space, self-compassion, and inner safety so change feels possible. We also talk about Talia's upcoming Choosing the Witness Self book club in Perth and how we'll be pairing each chapter with a podcast conversation so you can walk this journey slowly with community and support. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the podcast, our Revital Health podcast, Dr. Talia Steed.
Thank you. Lovely to be here with you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. We've been having this on the cards for a little while now, and I'm so excited to have you here and to talk through your latest book, the first chapter, but also to hear your story. So let's start there and let's talk about what brought you to this point. You know, you've written two incredible books. You've been through, you know, I've been privy to a little bit of information prior to anyone listening to this. So you've been through an incredible history, past, education, and landed here. So I'll let you unfold that for everyone listening.
Okay. Well, I guess, yeah, as you described, it has been a huge journey. And I guess the funny thing is, though, all along, this was my vision. It just kind of, it took different shapes, as it tends to do for all of us. So we initially had this dream of opening up, kind of similar to what you've got, like a wellness center and having multiple people. And I saw myself as the GP. Firstly, it was a psychiatrist with a wellness team, and then it was the GP. And it kind of changed as I evolved along my journey. But what I found going through that medical journey was it really wasn't aligned with me and my soul, and also not just my soul, my human personality. And it wasn't the right match for me to be able to bring my gifts into the world. So that was a huge journey of about 20 years. Whereas all along I knew, something wasn't right, and that was kind of the fuel for a lot of the material in my books. Body Wisdom was the first book where I talk a lot about that journey and how a lot was showing up in my body and mind, trying to connect me with getting back to alignment. So all of that journey brings me to where I am now, which is using everything I've, I guess, all the knowledge and the experiences professionally and personally to bring that depth to my consults with clients to really embody that holistic approach. It's got a, that word is thrown around a lot these days, but the depth with which I can offer that really truly comes from having the firm foundation in the physical and then working through the layers of mental, emotional, and spiritual in my own journey and with clients as well. So, yeah, is there anything specifically from that you might want me to go into a little
I think
deeper?
it will naturally evolve as we talk through. Now, in the first chapter, you talk about your asking and questioning patients when you were, in the hospital, and asking them around their healing journeys and their chronic health conditions. So I think we'll dive into that a little bit more. But even the word holistic, I agree, it's thrown around a lot, but there's not really anything else that encompasses that what we're trying to speak about anymore. It really is that wholeness. And within that wholeness, we need to be able to consider all the parts and all the components. And that means the spirituality, the mind, the mental health, which all often gets separated from the body. We have to talk about the systems, the interactions, the matrix, the talking, the signaling, the deeper we dive into the body and the biochemistry even, and the microbiome. It's just so fascinating. And then we zoom all the way out, and our emotions, our self-talk, our experiences all impact all of that, which just daily blows me away. When particularly in clinic, it's just like, oh my goodness, you can see these patterns now presenting with people in front of you. So it's
And I think with what you're saying, what I found, and firstly, I have no issue with the word holistic, but I just feel that, yeah, like to what I said before, like it can be used more flippantly, but the depth with which, some clinicians can offer that truly holistic perspective is important. But what you were saying before, and you're zooming out and zooming in, like I feel. And this was through all my years in medicine, and as I said, my own journey. The body, like we can't separate them out. The body is literally just a mirror. It's a mirror. It's a very obvious kind of sign of what's happening on those deeper levels. And so, as much as we're human beings, and from our ego mind, we don't want to be in pain, we don't want discomfort, we don't want to be suffering. But that's kind of not the point of the things that show up in our body. It's to redirect us to look at these deeper levels that we wouldn't look at if it didn't show up, because we'd keep going in ways that sometimes don't serve us. So I think it's really important to realize that our body's not trying to punish us or any such thing. It's really just trying to illuminate something that's calling our attention.
I love that. I love that illumination, because I explain it in different ways, but I love that. That's better. I love that better, in that I always say, body's trying to keep you safe. It wants the best for you. It's not trying to harm you. All it wants to do is get back to that equilibrium or greater health or healing part. And all of these things it's showing you, telling you, as messages. It's trying to, as you say, illuminate these things to tell us what to fix or what to look at or where to draw our attention to. Yeah, it's something that I've seen much more now in this sort of like psychoneuroimmunology, where now it's starting to get a little bit more scientific attention, which I love, because that means that is going to bring it to the masses in a larger way. But also, we need to still keep it at that holistic depth where we can actually apply it properly, especially in clinics or with physicians or with practitioners, with health coaches, to really know and understand. And actually, it's that gift when you're with someone, like you say, in consultation, to be able to talk around and to talk with that person and be where they're at. Otherwise, you're not actually getting to the full potential of where you could be supporting them.
And that comes to one of the things in my first chapter, like we're talking about today, is really being, and that's the tricky part, right? So once something does show up in our body, as human beings from our ego mind, we want to fix it, and we're happy to take a pill or even take the supplements or do these things. But the deeper healing comes from the patterning that has caused the issue in the first place. And this is what I write about. Like, if we really want to heal, we might need to change the way we're doing some things. And for many people, that is very, very hard. So, if part of our healing, if part of our migraines is the fact that we're in the wrong relationship, we can't get rid of the migraines and stay in the wrong relationship. That doesn't work. We won't heal. We can band-aid it for a while, but if that's where it goes for our body, those migraines will show up. And if they don't show up there, they'll show up somewhere else because this is the way it's all connected. So I guess to truly heal, we need to be willing to do the hard things that are for our higher self, that are in alignment with our true path. But they might be things we want to, on an ego level, on a mind level, hold on to that might not be serving us. And that's the tricky part with true healing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, the book itself, Choosing the Witness Self, which I'm fascinated by that title. So I just want to actually just quickly touch on that first before we get to the first chapter, which you've named Vision Creates Reality, which again, I think ties into what you just said, of course, around having a vision and then creating that in your reality, but also how can I bring that when again my ego self is holding on to that? Because as you say, it is the hardest part because you rationalize it constantly, like I just feel this because of this, or I just feel that because of that, but then always coming back to those symptoms or those things that your body is telling you. So let's first talk about this choosing the witness self, because I really want to get some context for readers around that. This is our first
Well, I'll show the cover because it kind of,
Oh yeah, I've got it here
yes.
too.
So this, see this big sun, and then there's the clouds here in the sky. So I'll tell you what, this cover actually was a mistake because I had two ideas, and they kind of the publisher didn't realize they were separate ideas. So I had one idea to have it purple, and then the second idea was no, scrap that. Let's have the sun is illuminating the sky. So it's like the light shining, the truth. And then he put the two together. So it's got this purple tinge with that light coming through. And it was just like, wow, this is perfect. So that's just
Stunning. The color just pops. It
that's
just
just
literally, and it really does. Like it's so you as well. It's so you.
So that's, I guess, just a little side note. But choosing the witness self. So it's kind of like what we're talking about. So we have our ego, which is our minds, our thoughts, our fears, our insecurities, our patterning, everything that we've absorbed from the outside world, our conditioning, from our parents, society, the collective. It's all that stuff, right? And choosing the witness self is choosing the part that watches all of that. The part that was there when you were born and will be there when you die, the essence and truth of your being, whether the word soul relates for you or higher self or witness self, whatever it is, it's that separation between the true part of you and the thoughts, the feelings, the body sensations, that these parts all come and go. And how can we be something that is transient? So we are not our thoughts, we are not our feelings, and we're not a sensation in the body because all of these things come and go, as I said. So choosing the witness self is that, people get very, I guess it's very daunting to think about meditating and things like that because they think they have to be free of thought or free of feeling or whatever it is. And that's simply not the case. It's really choosing the witness self. It's choosing to be guided by the part of us that is in alignment with truth and our truth. So that stuff might all play out. We might still have a million thoughts. We might still be a really emotional person, like me or any of us out there. But it's choosing to be guided by the truth and the essence of our soul, not to eliminate what's there, but to sit back and just observe and then make decisions based from that deeper place. So the second part of the title, choosing the witness self, illuminating, so clearly I like that word, illuminating the illusions of the ego mind. So that comes back to what I was saying about the ego mind is full of illusions. It's full of our fears, our insecurities, and all these things, all the conditioning. So we're illuminating this, we're seeing this because we can't change what we can't yet see. So that's the sun in the cover. We need to illuminate these patterns, the conditioning, and then choose a new path. And so that kind of sums up what the premise of the book is all about.
So it's taking you step by step on how to illuminate. So let's sort of like pull apart maybe the first bit. I really like all this, and I think in to bring it back, I like to see, obviously my work is a lot based in, as you were as well, or as you are. You can't separate either. That's the scientific component. This is the direct mode network we're talking about. This thing that's just on for survival, on to keep us, safe, on that we just keep repeating patterns, and it not may not be that true pathway like you're explaining that we need to be illuminated towards to then realize why everything is so out of sync and feeling like we're not in, how I explain it, the flow state as well. So I in the first chapter you mentioned here about the will to live and the will to heal, and I really liked that sort of like sentence where you mentioned this. So let's unpack that a little bit. So the difference between, and obviously why we have either both, or why we have one, or why we have the other.
So I have to credit that to Caroline Myess because that's where I read about. She talks about that a lot, that concept. And perhaps she heard it somewhere else as well, but I heard it through her, her books. And I really liked that concept because, like I was saying, I was seeing this. I was seeing this, firstly, a bit more context about my medical background. Initially, I was specializing in psychiatry. So I did spend quite a few years in the in-depth, heavy land of public mental health. And so let's just put that there for a second. And then I did a lot of work in general practice. So, which is also a lot of mental health, because again, you can't separate out the two, chronic health and mental health. So through all these kind of, I guess, avenues, it comes back to we all say we want to get better from something, right? We all say we want to heal, and that's coming from our conscious mind. But it comes back to what I was saying before about are we willing to do what it takes to heal? So when I would work with patients in general practice, and say someone had something coming to mind is like a chronic shoulder injury. And this injury and the pain lasted for so much longer than would be expected by that specific injury. And it turned into a whole workers' compensation claim, and all these levels got stacked on. Then the pain medication started increasing. And then, I would get letters. Not that I was prescribing that, because this was coming from specialists, but it was. Why is this patient on so much pain medication and all these factors? So it was just getting compounded, right? And I still brought myself to those consults, and I had quite a good therapeutic relationship with this client, with this patient. And I knew his background in the job that he had been in was a lot of stress, he had a lot of PTSD from that job. And he had overtly told me, well, I don't want to go back to that job. So the shoulder injury was persisting because it was keeping him out of the job that he didn't want to go back to. But he had all these other situational factors, which meant he didn't feel ready to leave that job, right? So this is what I'm saying. if we truly want to heal, in theory, that person would have needed to address the PTSD, address the trauma, get out of that job if it's causing so much distress, find new work. There was also, I think, family situations at play. Address that. So there's a lot that they would need to do to heal. And I try to gently coach that, but a person needs to be ready in their own time. That's each of our soul journeys. And this person is an example of many people that was not choosing to heal. He was choosing to stay in those situations because that's all he could do in that moment. And this isn't about judgment, it's just about awareness. And so it was only getting worse. And I'm not sure how that, has unfolded because obviously I'm not in general practice anymore with that patient. So this is the thing. Does this patient, and you mentioned about the will to heal and the will to live, which I wrote about. Of course, he has the will to live because, he is living. If we're staying alive, we want to live. And mostly, and this is what I write about as well, even those who have chronic suicidal thoughts, thinking about dying and all this, they too carry the will to live. Otherwise, they would have acted on those thoughts. So the will to live is so strong in most all of us as human beings, unless someone takes action on that, obviously. So, but the will to heal is that different story, because through my interactions with so many patients, many, many people do not carry that will to actually heal, to do what it takes to be free of the shoulder injury or the chronic gut issues or whatever it may be for each person. To truly heal, we need to be willing to face things that have made us sick. And that's on all levels of our being and in all aspects of our life, in our relationships, in our boundaries with our family, in our people pleasing. It's all these subtle processes that contribute to dis-ease in the body.
And it's as we already said right at the start, it's one of the hardest things, isn't it? Because you have to the not just the will, but the willpower and what you come up against. Because I know from with many therapeutic relationships with my clients and talking through them with this process, they sometimes land. I had a very similar client who was very unwell and then made all these changes and with the support of others around and shifted out of a job and moved house and then eventually he came in one time. I remember it explicitly, and he said to me, "Everything is in order and just moving me in that direction now, Jodie." And I'm like, "Yes, it's because you're on that path now. It's like straight." And he's like, "I'm just so happy, even if I have like small little niggles, they go away really quickly. Everything is healing well." I'm like, yes. So when we see that, we can see how important it is for this. But for those in those moments, it's really hard because family can disown you. People, your friends, you may lose your friends because you suddenly have boundaries in those places. You may fear for your financial safety. You might fear for your home safety. There's so many unknowns when making these changes. And I know that that's why this book and you've created, sort of, moving people through this process and showing them that, it is a possibility and this is something that's a necessity. But as you say, it's all in people's time, own time. So,
Own time and divine timing, because like that's why like none of this is with judgment or any such thing, because even you and I, like a person can only change when, as you've said, when everything is the conditions are aligned. Because if there's still too much, I guess the word clutter or drama is coming to my mind, we don't have the space to do this hard work of change. I know in my life, like it's taken many, many years. It takes many years to shed layer upon layer of each part of the healing or awakening journey. And sometimes we do a little bit of work and then a few years come back to it. That's the cyclical nature of awakening. So all of it is with compassion for ourselves and other people that, we might not be ready. And working with our own resistance is also very important, because if we push ourselves beyond where we're ready yet to go, we're only going to cause more pushback. more ego resistance. And so slow, gentle, sustained change is always far better than pushing ourselves to challenge ourselves too much, because we just push back.
Very, very amazing points. And that was leading me to my next question, actually. In terms of you, when you're guiding, clients now, how do you help support them to also have hope around these changes, but for them to subtly shift this internal narrative, or this bring out this witness self, or start to understand this unfolding or layer in, and sort of almost have patience around it too, because it's something that naturally as humans we do want to rush these things. We're always looking for the silver bullet, magic bullet, whatever it is, when it comes to health or anything. There must be a shortcut to this. So.
It's interesting you say this, because I had a client yesterday and he reminded me of something that we said in our first session, and I had said to him, it takes as long as it takes. So this is something that I've learned in my own journey. Like, I remember, like, way back when I had, some significant things happen in my life, I was like, okay, in 1 year I'm going to be like awakened in 1 year. And little did I know that that's not quite how it works. It takes as long as it takes. And we're here as human beings, like, in my belief, that that's our sole purpose. That's our sole reason for living. We're not here to achieve the things we achieve in the physical material world are secondary to the evolution of our soul. So that will literally be until we die. And if we believe in multiple lifetimes, it might be we do a certain amount this lifetime and then it's the next. So coming back to it takes as long as it takes is a really good framework, because even just saying it takes the pressure off. So we know
That
that
race.
so much of, like, our so many symptoms, and especially chronic health issues, they're kind of fed by constant pressure. Because pressure is driven by fear. Oh my God, how could I live with this? I must fix it now. Like, that energy is fear. So I think with what you were saying about how to hold hope and things like that, is seeing it as like a long game. Seeing it as the benefits that I'm seeking is alignment with my soul and to create the life that I truly desire to live. So if that's kind of what I'm working towards, then slowly and gently, anything that's going towards, I guess it comes back to what a lot of people talk about, love over fear. Anything that comes back to creating a life that I love, a relationship with myself that I love, with my friends, family, work, anything that's guiding me gently, slowly to that. I mean, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to live a life of alignment? So that gives us, with that slow, gentle framework, it takes as long as it takes. And then to make slow changes and, take stepping stones to get there, it gives us kind of, I guess, that framework to go, okay, even if something's hard, even if someone had to leave a relationship, right, which many of us have had to do at some point on our journeys, we don't have to do it tomorrow. So we can go, okay, I know in my soul that this isn't the right, if that's the case, which, I've been there in the past too, and I write about that in my first book. But it doesn't have to be ripped off like a band-aid. I'm going to do the mental work to prepare. This can be a slow, steady process. I'm going to set the foundations, and when I'm ready, I'll make this change. So we're kind of supporting ourselves to make the changes we need to make, rather than pushing ourselves. And this process is actually part of the awakening journey. Learning to be compassionate, to be kind, to be gentle is some of the biggest lessons we're all here as human beings to learn.
Absolutely. And so back to the name of the first chapter is this is vision, right? So I hear you talking about it now. And so, obviously there's that vision component that people need to know, like this is not right for me, or this doesn't feel right. But before that comes, we've already spoken about it, it's like illuminating that witness. So to know, and to know that it's not right is the first step, really. And so sometimes people even struggle to do that. It's as you've been around, mental health or in a very difficult relationship, sometimes people don't even see those things. And it can be even more, and I've witnessed it with clients. It can be quite painful when you actually realize that, or someone brings something to light that you now can see in a different way. So these things do take time, as you're saying, because sometimes you have to heal from that first.
Yes, and that's where the body and symptoms and health issues come into play. Because if everything is going perfectly aligned in our life, which, most people, that's not the case. One thing's life is a journey for all of us, and I think knowing that is also very important. But this is where we can use the health issues or the symptoms or whatever's coming up as flags and go, if we haven't yet got the awareness of what's out of balance, but we know something is, or if we feel out of touch with our feelings because feeling can be painful, or with our intuition because there's so many messages from the outside world, but just something feels off, we can use those to deepen into connecting with our intuition. And especially with symptoms playing out, with all the clients coming to see you, we can use that to go, okay, something, let's do what we have to do on a physical level to get some relief. But then let's look why this is showing up in the first place. And if we all adopted that framework, we would realize that everything that shows up in the body, even someone who stubs their toe, okay, it's like slow down. It's a very obvious sign, right? Sometimes I develop like these random bruises. It's like, what have I bumped into? Why am I being absent-minded? On a small level, everything that shows up can show us something if we start to pay attention.
Exactly.
But with
There's that way.
all the stuff coming in from the outside world, we actively have to create the space to gain that awareness, because you cannot connect with your true self, your intuition, all of this wisdom, if you are always around other people, if you're always busy, and if you have no time on your own. That is impossible. So that's another choice as well. That's about the will to heal. If someone wants to really heal, the busyness word needs to, go. The time for self needs to come in. And the space and conditions need to be cultivated to listen, uncover what it is that is trying to be seen.
I hear this many times. I like examples, so I like to share some of the examples. So I think it brings context to some of these things that we're talking about. But many of the clients who, as you are speaking of, will, I'll suggest to them, that there is some self-care that needs to happen. Maybe you need to sit for 10 minutes, or just be on your own for 10 minutes. Doing nothing, it doesn't have to be sitting or standing or being still, but just being in silence in somewhat. And they look at me and they're like, oh, I could never do that. That's way too scary. Because they're so scared of their own mind. They're so scared of the rush and the thoughts and what might arise for them. And for someone who has done a bit of work, on yourself, that seems to be preposterous. Like, how can you not sit on your own for 10 minutes like that? But for some, it's very hard. And so I
Oh, no,
really,
I'll interrupt you. I totally relate because I also am a yoga teacher. But at the beginning of my yoga journey, I would run out the yin yoga class. I was like, I cannot do this. Get me out of here. So I think that's where we need compassion. Now, this is my favorite, but like that's where we need compassion and like complete non-judgment of wherever we're at. So if that is so impossible to fathom, 10 minutes on our own, well, let's start with 10 minutes doing laps at the pool on our own or something that feels comfortable. Break it down 10 minutes, even for some people, they can't even go to the beach on their own, or anything that feels safe as a stepping stone is amazing. So it's really making it really small. If that seems so out of this world to have 10 minutes alone, maybe you have your red light room, so maybe doing that for 10 minutes, whatever it is that feels okay, or as a first step, that's where that person could start, and then
Yeah, it comes
slowly
back to
building
like
that.
exactly, it takes time, right? It comes back to what you said, it takes time. So even if you're taking small steps, sometimes they're big leaps, really, at the end of the day, then you feel like you have more. ability to see things in a different way, and you can take those leaps eventually because it feels safer and safer. Yeah, I love that. So I think, we've talked about some practices already, to strengthen some of this inner self, new possibility, bring out the witness self. Anything more that you've found have really helped people, that you've worked with? Anything else that you've seen to be something that really helps to shift that sort of narrative for them?
I think the big thing that I'm really becoming aware of more and more when you're talking to people, just in even in your everyday life to friends, and is just how harsh we can be on ourselves, like around really little things. Like me and a friend of mine the other day were talking about this pressure we feel on a Saturday night. I should be going out for dinner, like even a small thing like this. When we can start to illuminate even these tiny patterns, these shoulds, this pressure, this comparison, we're all seeing so much of each other's lives. When we can start to really be self-compassionate on a, not just talk about that, but really feel that. And so when that pressure comes up, oh, I should be doing this tonight, or I'm like, well, no, who said that? And start to be kinder and gentler and treat ourselves like we would someone we truly love, or a pet, or best friend or child. When we can start to do that with ourselves, I think that's when we can really make changes. Because even as someone who does a lot of meditation and things like that, you can do a lot of meditation, and whilst that's amazing, and I for me it's been very helpful in my journey, for some people it's not. But when you come out of that meditation, if you go back and default to all your habitual ways, that really isn't, going to sustain positive change. And so it comes down to catching yourself, which meditation does give you greater capacity to do in each moment, to see how hard we can be on ourselves about everything, and to bring in that love and compassion for self throughout all the moments of our life. And that's really what can make the changes.
Yeah, I love that. I think these sorts of things as well, I see it in my clients when they're overreactive, and women, perimenopause, they're highly, again, busy running from all different areas and never actually have time to internally reflect. The power, the most impactful, as you say, is creating that space, and even between reactions, between saying things, or just little things that you then go back to later and go, why did I say that? Or why did I react like that? Or, so by having these slowing down practices, or more of that witnessing practices, you're getting that space in between. And I think that's the mini breaks. I talk about it with my clients a bit, like, can you just take 5 minutes to breathe a little bit every few hours? Because it's just giving you that reactional space for when you're having conversations or having conflict. You can sit and you can almost just see yourself be observing that. I was like, oh, I have a choice to be like that or to say this right now. And we don't normally get that if we're just running at the pace that we are in life. So I think that can feel really good when you get to that point to be able to just reflect in the moment.
Very much. And that, as you said, it's a process to get there, but it is very empowering. And I think the thing about healing and awakening is the whole point is to become the most empowered version of ourselves. And all these little steps to get there is part of that journey. Taking ownership, that no one or nothing out there can change us or do the work we are being called to do. They can guide us, and that's what, like yourself, myself, that's what we're here to support with. And true healers will help guide you back to yourself, in my belief. But ultimately, that needs to come from within. And so we create that self-responsibility, that empowerment, that I must take ownership and shift my own life.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. No one's out there to sort of save us, but just guide us. And we really do need to put the work in, and it's so worth it. It's then the reward of knowing, oh, I did this. I got there. This is I'm so proud of myself. And then
And
those.
that's it. Sorry, that's really important because that comes back to validation. So in this world, especially in this current climate of how life is, there's so much seeking for external validation for other people to say, wow, well done, or you're doing so well, or this looks amazing, or this and this. But in order to, cultivate the traits that we're talking about, it's the self-validation. It's getting to a point where, no one sees each moment of all of our own lives. No one, the true acts of courage and the true acts of the deserving of acknowledgement are the times we pull ourselves up from hard places. It's all the little things that no one else sees. And I think that is what we need to give ourselves validation for, just how strong we are in those moments that no one would even know about. And when we can get to that point of giving ourselves the validation, that really is an empowered place to be. And I think that can be kind of the incentive because then our life becomes a lot more about choice rather than doing things for the wrong reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasing yourself versus pleasing others, it's a big one. Yeah, it's incredible. So, Tyler, I know you also at the end of your chapters, which I have here, you have reflections. So, and I love this because it slows the reading process down as well. So I've just got this up here. So, your wisdom within, so you've got different areas in each part of your, well, each chapter. And so I'll show everyone. So you've got these, and I think what it is, it enables, you've got the pearls of wisdom and you've got the wisdom within, and you're actually slowing down, you're allowing that to settle, to sit, to give space. Normally when we read a book, it's like, right, next chapter, quick, how fast? And I'm completely like this. I'm definitely trying to get through information much faster, especially when you've got limited time. But I remember the 5% of the books, there's no point in me going through it fast. I have a goal of myself, like, how can I speed read this? How fast can I get through each page? But when we're looking for these sorts of purposes, we need to slow it down. So I love that you do that. And I also love that you have, and you do your book clubs. So you have, what we've planned for this particular series is that we're going to run through each chapter of your book. We're going to do a podcast on it. We're going to chat. And then you have every month at the end of the month, starting in January, so the 30th of Jan, at Skoll, which is in Scarborough, a beautiful little cafe or restaurant, as you would call it. The food is stunning. They also do beautiful mulled wine in winter. Favorite of mine. And so at 1 p.m. on Friday, last Friday of every month. So everyone can put that in their diaries because then you'll be going through slowly your book, almost in relationship to how we're going to be releasing these podcasts. So yeah, which will be an incredible tool for everyone. And I think it's just in it's needed to have connection, support, to feel it, to hear other people's stories, to hear, just little things, as you were saying. I'm like, yeah, our internal dialogue, like we have just wins, small wins on little days where you've talked yourself out of something or you've talked yourself around a bad thought. No one sees those things. And to be able to externalize that and talk to a group of women or people who are also dealing with these sorts of things that you may not feel confident enough unless talking with it in a space that you're actually bringing these things up, it helps heal. It helps to make you feel seen and validated.
And especially that part around connection, because on the journey to healing and awakening, it can feel lonely. It can feel like, when we step away from, I guess, conditioned way of doing things, we can feel like people around us might not get this. And so it's really lovely to be surrounded by like-minded women or people who can go, yeah, I'm on this journey too, and I know how hard it can be as well, but we're doing this for this greater, I guess, as we've described, alignment to self and creating the life that's truly, the path for us. So, yeah, that's really special to develop those connections and Be able to slow things down and be able to share authentically and be our true selves and have other people that can validate that way of thinking is very powerful.
Yeah, time is a commodity now, and as you're saying that, a lot of we all have the feeling that we don't have time for anything anymore. But it's it, and many people are, oh, gotta make time for that. It's almost a hassle. Be like, oh, I've got to go and do this. But the more what I've noticed in the past, I also have time limitations for various reasons. But the more you think you have time limitations, you do. The more you feel like you have space and you slow things down, and those 5 minutes, or even just those reflection times, time elongates. And you're like, wow, that 15 minutes felt like it was an hour. That was incredible. So, there's so much perception shift, like we spoke about right at the beginning. The way that we see things, the way that we have told ourselves things, the way that our mind works. It's not always the true way that we should be or we've been. So I love these conversations. It's just talking about the depth that we talk about is just it oh it warms my heart. It just brings me so much light and joy, and to be able to spread this to others, to be able to listen to this and to find some hope and healing and just being more than just the will to live. It's just awesome. So thank you so much, Talia. So I'll let you shout out and do the prompts and where to find you and what to do to sign up and your website and all of that. And then obviously we'll put in the book club for the end of Jan in Scarborough, in Perth. So sorry for everyone who's not in Perth. You can either fly over here and come.
Yeah, so everything's on my website, drtaliasteed.com. But with the book clubs, that will be on Eventbrite, and we can put the link below. And any other queries or questions or anything that's come up for people from seeing this podcast today, they can reach out to either one of us through Instagram or email. We'll have all the links. So
Wonderful. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Have a beautiful rest of your day, and I will catch up with you very soon for part two.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and it is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.